بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نشكر الله بما شكرت المشكلة قول سيدي الشرطات وكيشور بيئين تفكير الانبوت السلطة بكبارة الوزن الحسن الوزن and any such effect is being on the seal of his prophet, the last of his messengers and his holy progeny, and in particular, may his incessant blessings ever continue to fall on the 11th successor to the holy prophet, on Imam Abu Muhammad al-Hasan al-Askari, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Last time we were discussing the extraordinary events that were seen in the life of the Imam Askari of Islam, that is not about 25, and established his Muhammad. In a way, we have covered the ground, but there are loose ends, which I promise I will try to come at the first meter. Tonight, before we move to the question of the Prophet Muhammad al-Islam, and the very first issue that I want to deal with is the languages. I do that, and I will not retain you for long on it, but a few minutes to open this topic. And the purpose of doing that, again, calling it a loose end, which I need to tell you, that I will be talking about the ability of the Prophet al-Islam to communicate with various languages from a few years now. We saw this in the case of 59, 69, 71, 89, 99, 99, alayhi wa sallam, where the question of many pregnancies is for evidence that that first happened with the 11th anomaly. And what is the answer? Evidently, yes, of course it is. What is the proof? A lot of proof is this. But to cite one view for the purpose of completion, it comes again, or this comes from Abu Hamza. He says he was in attendance on the 11th Imam of Islam in Samara, and he had a number of servants and visited the Imam of Islam, although the visitors were very limited, but those that were allowed to come and see him, and he brought his servants. He said that these people belong to different communities. Of course, there were Iraqis, Arabs there. There were some Iranians also. And there were Serbs. And there were people from Byzantium. And there were people from Pachecos. And the Imam al-Islam would go to think of his servants in one language. The Turk would be taught to him in Turkish. And the Iranian would be taught to him in Farsi. Again, basically, a vast knowledge of any language that he has to have. Then he said, it's a prerequisite to become the Imam. Because Allah has all that knowledge in his representative. So that, as you discussed before, so that the Imam of Islam, his representative of Islam, is able to communicate to his preachers. The Imam has been sent to some of those religious scriptures, if he cannot communicate to them, how is he to fulfill that promise? So, one of the tools whereby the Imam al-Islam completes his function is through language, hence his ability to communicate in all these languages. But Abu Hamza says, one day I saw him communicating with these three servants, each in their own language, one for Arabic, the other from Byzantium, the third from Texas, and I was so flabbergasted, so absolutely amazed at his capacity fluently to communicate in these languages, although himself an Arab and never been outside of India. Indeed, in the lifetime of his father, he was hardly seen. But as I was hearing these thoughts cross my mind, suddenly the Imam al-Islam came close to me, as close to the world. And as he came close to me, he turned to me and said, "Oh Abu Hamza, why are you troubled by what you are witnessing? If I was not able to communicate to all these people in their own languages, then what would be the difference that Allah would accept between the one whom he has known the proof of Allah and the one to whom that proof is to be given?" So to create that distinction, and indeed, سسٹم کے جب تک دوڑ رہا ہے جائے گا So to communicate, be able to communicate with them, Allah has manifested this difference between the proof of Allah and those to whom the proof is given. And again, we illustrate, trying to speak with a good example from it, to say sign and put a cut here, because not only that it's dealing with the new genre of languages, it also shows that he too was able to read the mind, to read the minds of the people, and to answer them. And satisfy them even before the problem is there. Another matter that you can allude to in this time, which could be again in a few minutes only desire, is what we saw about a number of previous Imams, alayhi wa sallam. We saw that a person would ask a certain question, he would forget that question, and the Imam, alayhi wa sallam, would remind him what his next question was, and providing the answer. We saw that repeatedly. Well, is that also true with Imam Askari al-Islam? And yes, yes. And again, a number of examples exist in our books. To cite one, to make things easy, comes in the case of Hussein bin Zayd. He wanted to ask Imam al-Islam two questions, so he wrote him a letter. He was not able to go to Samara, and by then it was well known that it was not easy to have audience with the Imam al-Islam because the authorities did not permit that. So he writes the letter, he wanted to raise two matters, one about the first Imam al-Islam and one about the Qutubi al-Sir, the freedom. He sets out to write the letter, and in the letter he raises the question of how the successor to the 11th Imam al-Islam would be in Ghaiba for a long time, but after that he will reappear, and when he will reappear, he will establish justice on earth. When he establishes justice on earth, he will of course be the chief justice. How will he decide changes? What will be the procedure as evidence that he will require? And he finished the letter there in his excitement of sending the letter to the Imam al-Islam. The Imam sent him a reply saying that yes, what you have written is accurate, it is accurate, it will be in Ghaiba, and that he will reappear, he will dispense justice himself. But he will not require anything. He will be aware of all the truth and all the events that took place. All the events that actually took place in relation to a case, how one party behaves to the other, whether there was an injustice by one party to the other or not, what were the intentions? I might come to you and say, I'm a very good man and I want to be a partner in Mumbai, and you might believe me, my intentions, that might be bad. You could not approve that, but the Imam of Islam would acknowledge my inner intentions as well and take God into account in reaching his final adjudication. The Imam al-Islam sets it all out, and then says, this is the way in which Nabi Dawood al-Islam used to do justice. And indeed, the told Imam al-Islam, when he will administer justice in that way, he will be just following the sunnah of that Nabi Dawood. He will exactly comply with that instruction and do justice to people according to their own faith, if they have not just brought faith to Islam. Then the Imam al-Islam adds another paragraph. He says, for the same, you wanted to ask me about the Qutubi al-Sir also, but I see you have forgotten to put the question in your letter. Well, the answer to that is that if a person has the Qutubi al-Sir, the solution to that is, write this ayah on a piece of paper. Ya Naru, Kuni Gaibar, Salama, Ala Ibrahim. O fire, be cold and be of safety on Ibrahim, so that it does not injure Ibrahim in any way at all. He says, having written that on a piece of paper, tied round the neck of the person in the fever, and inshallah, the fever will disappear. Well, and concludes the letter with Islam. Well, you can see that he knew exactly what were the questions that Shia wanted to ask and supplied the answers and asked and solicited. But why I keep saying, and I've said this before, and I don't want to take your time over only to catch on it, but I keep saying, if you are forgotten to ask him something, it matters not, because he knows if it is a wish, you will, inshallah, not receive that wish fulfilled. But it comes down on you, somehow, it comes down on you, by inspiration, that the Imam alayhi salam was aware of that particular wish and answered it in a manner satisfactory to you. So this is how the Imam alayhi salam continues to dispense his favors and his manners to the people in many a way. And then the last thing that I want to put forward to you is a matter in which a person goes to the Imam alayhi salam and tells him a lie. The reason I want to discuss this is that we have got to be careful the way we speak to the Imam alayhi salam and to know that he knows the truth. So there is no way we can lie to him. We only demean ourselves. We lower ourselves in the estimation of the Imam alayhi salam by telling him lies. And this is well demonstrated in the affairs of the early Imam alayhi salam. Ismail bin Muhammad was in need of money, so he went to the Imam alayhi salam on the way, thinking that when the Imam alayhi salam will pass, he will stop him and ask for help. And indeed, that is exactly what happened. The Imam alayhi salam passed that way, and when he passed that way, the child greeted him and stopped him. Sorry, this is Ismail bin Muhammad. Stopped him and greeted him, and having come and greeted him, said, "Ya Rasulullah, I swear by Allah," and it is common for the Arabs to take this oath, "but I swear by Allah that I have not been at all. I have not had breakfast, and I am in dire need of financial help. Can you please help me?" And the Imam looks down to him and says, "Oh, Ismail, why do you tell a lie? Telling a lie is not enough. But then you swear before you tell a lie. Makes it so much worse. But why do you need to swear? And why do you need to tell a lie? If you had only asked for help, I would have given you the help, just as I would have if you had not." So why is doubt in this? Now one does see that sort of practice in our society also. Beautiful lesson from it. So, Ismail says, "Ya Rasulullah, the speech is true. I have not had that happen." Imam alayhi salam says, "Yes, that is true. Indeed, you have not had dinner last night either. That would also be true if you told me. And when you say that you don't have any money on you, that is also true. But it is not right to say that you do not have a family with you at all, because you have carried 200 dirhams in your garden. I am not asking you to take that money out. And I'm not saying this to make an excuse not to give you the money. Here is an envelope. I knew I would see you on the way. And I have kept an envelope ready for you. You wanted 200 dirhams from me." And Ismail says, "Truly, Ya Rasulullah, I did not even need to mention it." The Imam alayhi salam says, "I would not have mentioned it myself. But I'm mentioning it now to tell you that what I'm telling you is not an excuse to remove 200 dirhams from what you wanted. Here is a full envelope of 200 dirhams. And when Allah gives you barakah in it, but yet it was not correct for you to tell a lie, because you will accept this error without telling a lie at all. What Allah has prescribed for you, you will get it anyway." Reminds us, and this is only to remind you of that event, which is so sacred, you have to well heard of, but it is important to tie it up with this particular event to see how what the first Imam teaches is what the 11th Imam alayhi salam teaches. Imam alayhi salam goes to the mosque. When he goes to the mosque, he dismounts from his horse, outside is the keeper of the mosque. He calls the keeper and says, I'm in a hurry to go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe myself upon my horse. Are you going to go around? He says, yes. Allah, I am around. I will come. You can go and pray. And Imam alayhi salam says, when I come out from the mosque, I will surely, inshallah, look after you. In other words, keep your remote for you. This is the promise that comes from Imam alayhi salam, that he will recompense him for the fact that he is taking in looking after the shadow of the horse of the Imam alayhi salam. But you can see how impatient the Imam alayhi salam was to submit himself to the worship of Allah, to run to the worship of Allah. When he comes out, the horse is there, tied to the tree, and he has tied the horse. The saddle is not there. So when the saddle was not there, he looked for the keeper. The keeper was not there. So the Imam alayhi salam is now looking around for him. Suddenly he sees Qaddaf, his son. And Qaddaf says, oh my master, you seem to be upset. And you are looking for something. He says, yes. What I said here, I left the saddle on the horse. Told the keeper to look after it. Now the saddle is gone, and so has the keeper. And Qaddaf says, oh my master, how well are you combining those two facts? How beautifully you have put them together. The saddle has gone and the keeper has gone. So obviously the keeper has taken the saddle and gone. So Hazrat Amir alayhi salam turns to him and says, well, go to the market of the saddles where the saddles are sold. You might find him there, or you might find the saddle there, and come and go there. Indeed, when he goes to the shop in the market which sells saddles, he sees the saddle, picks it up and says, this is my master's saddle. Where do you get it from? And the keeper says, what master are you talking about? He says, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he says, no, this is not his saddle. And I'm going to give it to you because I just bought it. I bought it not from him, from someone else. Kamla says, yes, you bought it from the keeper of the mosque. People say, I don't know him. But he came and told it to me. And he says, this is the saddle of my master. He left it with the keeper to look after it. The keeper stole it and came and sold it to you. How much did you pay for it? And the shopkeeper says, I paid him 2 dirhams for it. Come and say, boy, we will resolve it this way. I will pay you 2 dirhams. But give my saddle back to me. He says, that is fine. I'm happy not to make any profit out of it. If you kill me, it is his saddle. I don't want to make any profit out of it. You can have the 2 dirhams and take the saddle. You see, this is why the law in this country and in various countries makes it a more serious offense to receive stolen property than even to steal. They receive it as a greater punishment than the thief. Because if there were no receivers, if there were no buyers of stolen property, people would not steal them, because what would they do with them having stolen them? Hence, the sentence on the receiver is greater. Qaddaf was prepared to be so careful and said, I will impose no punishment on you. Of course, the receiver is only guilty if he receives knowing the property to be stolen. And in this case, the shopkeeper was claiming he knows it was stolen. However, Qaddaf comes and takes the saddle, pays the 2 dirhams, goes back to the clearing of the staff, tells him the entire story. And when he unfolds the entire story to the clearing of the Islam, when the Prophet turns around to somebody and says, Qaddaf, look at the way these people live in life. When I told them, look after my saddle, I will look after you, I will take care of you when I come back from the mosque. My intention, Allah Shahid, my intention was that I will give him 2 dirhams as a tip. It was in his risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he should earn 2 dirhams at this stage, at this time of the day. And I would have happily given him 2 dirhams. He would have got 2 dirhams and I would have been happy with it. He would have had the thought of looking after my shadow and making me happy. Now, look at what has happened. He has made me unhappy. So Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was happy that his creature, his thing is stolen, he's still the federal penalty. He committed a sin for which he would have transformed the way of judgment. He went and sold that temple, sold the stolen property, committed another sin for which he would have to enter on the law of judgment. So how many wrongs does he commit? And how much will he have to enter on the law of judgment? When had he acted lawfully, had he acted according to Sharia, he would still have got those two doors. Because rizq comes from Allah. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ رِزْقُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reason to anything that moves on this earth, except that Allah is his sustenance, his rizq. Allah will provide. If we act locally, he will provide that local sustenance. The sustenance will come, because that is the promise of Allah. In the Holy Spirit, the awesome thing is to have the patience to be able to earn that depth of sustenance in a local way. So, Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam said to his Ismail ibn Muhammad, you will accept this money from me, locally, under the asking for it, without lying. Now, you have to make over from the lie that you told, and that's the advice the false told. And generally speaking, there is no need to take hold. But then he takes hold saying, oh, Israel, I want to give you a warning. And he thinks that now I have given you 200, and you hope that you have got your 200 because you have it in the garden. The money is not in the garden anymore. It is gone. And at the day, on the day when you will very badly need the money, you will not find it. This is only for your information, and then now we cannot walk away. The great thing about these episodes, extraordinary episodes in the life of Imam Askari alayhi salam, is that so many methods of Imam are proved in one go. His generosity is proof. His teaching under the ta'aruf, on the question of carrying the foot, on the question of no foot stone, of knowing things that are unseen. That there is no hurry about whether hidden valid money is there or not. When was it taken? How was it taken? Or within his knowledge, or establishing his name as an imam. But Ismail says, a day did come, and just in a few days, when I bagged him with money again, and I had no access to the imam alayhi salam. So he decided, I will go to the garden and unearth the money that I had hidden. But when I went to the garden, I found that he not only had the money, he had gone, but obviously there was sufficient amount there to show that somebody had unearthed that place, dug it up, and removed the money, and then just come up. So I had to make a quick investigation, and I discovered that my son, who had left the house a few days back, had known that I had buried the money there, and obviously he took the money and ran away. Such then are the proofs of how the Imam alayhi salam manifested extraordinary events in his life. But before I leave this subject, and I wish to leave this so that we move on to our topic for tonight, I wish to say just one thing, purely on a spiritual matter, just a couple of minutes of your time, purely on a spiritual matter, and we get this from Abu Hashim, Jafar. He says that I have known the Imam al-Islam, because you know, he knew Imam Hadi al-Islam so well also. He was a close companion, and we discussed episodes before from Imam Hadi al-Islam. However, if I knew al-Askari al-Islam so well, and I thought nothing would be surprising. I knew he was capable of achieving almost anything, because such was the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on him. However, one day I entered and I was totally stuck in myself. As I entered, I saw that the Imam al-Islam was busy writing. And then I saw this video, I did not want to interrupt him, I did not even want to greet him. He continued writing, and soon it was the time for Salah. Awwalullah, the first time, the familiar time of Salah. And where he was, he said, that's right. You love the picture on the ground. That's the point. And he devoted himself to prayer. The thing is, in full concentration, as we have here on the story, in full concentration in his prayer, and a little more of the prayer, more life, like when he discussed his political life. And as he was engrossed in his prayers, the question is, what did I notice? I noticed the time picked up, and the time continued rising. And that question is, now the little man had left uncompleted because he wanted to pray. The time just moving. So I got closer to see what is happening, because it was totally directionless. And the time would move to the end of the line, would come back to the other side, and would continue writing, and the whole line would be written, and the time would come back to the end of the line again, and write another line. And the time continued to do so, so long as the Imam alayhi salam was in prayer. When he finished the prayer, he looks at it, picks up the letter, and the time puts them on his table again, and having completed his taqidah, issues the order that less people who want to come and see me, come in and see me. And Abu Hashim says, I was the first to go in and kiss his hand and say, oh my master, what I have witnessed tonight, I have never witnessed in the life, either of yourself or of your illustrious father. So you can see how much control they have over matters, over entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is our duty. We say that if a person does not have that kind of control over entire creation, we do not accept him as an imam. And these imposters will come in and tell us all about building imam. We are able to detect them pretty quickly. And one sahib will ask for jama'ah, ajallahu farajahu. And inshallah, we shall discuss next year. When he will reappear, we will question him also. And he will tell us that himself. We must accept him without being satisfied. And indeed, he will produce eight signs straight away. These signs that nobody other than him can fulfill those eight signs. And then only will we accept him. Such was the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But one of his important functions in his short imama was indeed to praise the God for the for his birth, raida, and reappearance of Sahib al-Hujja, ajjalallahu farajahu. Well, the people Imam al-Islam, as we've already discussed, had done a lot. But time keeps moving and developments take place. And so Imam Hassan al-Sayyid al-Islam also had to move on with them. We finished a few nights by discussing the political, the saving of the world by Imam Hadi al-Islam. And how he had done a magnificent work, whereby the system of people being able to operate without changing Imam alayhi salam, because this is the crux of the matter. It was all being done for us, for that matter, that we were living without seeing the Imam, without physically meeting the Imam. How are we to live? How are we to suffer that kind of life? It is to enable us to have a smooth transition and to be able to continue living until he comes, that all these provisions were made. Alhamdulillah, you can see the fact that you are able to operate so well today is indeed a credit to those Imams of the Salaam, including Imam Hassan Ashkari Salawatullah wa Salaamu Alaihi. And that's our Salawat on him for that reason alone. Because that's what all these activities we would have been able to say. We would not have known what to say indeed. Worse than that, we would not have been Shiites naturally at all. We too would have been lost, like everything we have been lost, without knowing our Imam of the time. The task of Imam Hassan Ashari alayhi salam, however, was more difficult than that of any of his predecessors, either of his father or grandfather or great-grandfather. And I will discuss that in a minute or two. To finish first with how things went with us. as we reach the stage at which Osman bin Sayyid was appointed by Imam Ali bin Islam as the chief of the system of wakala of agents, and how he had the power on the guidance of the Imam bin Islam, Imam Ali bin Islam, different provinces and four provinces that is designated by him. As you remember, the one that dealt with Iraq, including Madain, forces around Kabbala, Baghdad, Wasat, all that area. One with Ahwaz and Qum, that's with that area and Rai. One that's with Hijaz and Yemen. One that's with Egypt. All these four centers were established by the time Imam Hattabassari Al-Islam took charge of those matters. The system of Wakala had grown even wider. Now, there were six provinces, because the Maghrib had come in, that is, apart from Algeria, and as far as Morocco. There were people as far as Morocco who had become shields and were in the faith of Imam Hassan al-Sari. So, all that has been looked at, and so, the system was further elongated. But by the time of Maghrib Sayyid, indeed, Imam Taqi had already set up a system whereby people in Egypt were trained to become agents of the Imam al-Islam. And that training was specifically given by those who had already been sent to Egypt. Then they were asked to move from Egypt to Medina. And the guys were going to pilgrimage. Because as you know, those imams were under surveillance. And under the guise of going to Mecca, they would come to Medina to be trained of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and would make that the choose for meeting the Imam alayhi salam. Whether it was Imam Rara alayhi salam, or Imam Karim alayhi salam, or the early days of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, or the Muslim Mudir, so then the direct contact, direct touch with the Imam alayhi salam, they would obtain their guidance and their teachings from the Imam alayhi salam, they would obtain instructions on how to operate, then they would go back. These people now could be moved into Algeria and into Morocco. So that network was beautifully expanded and expanded on the other side. Imam Rada alayhi salam, when he was in Mashhad, in Tunis, he set up a network which had crystallized. It took some time to crystallize, but by the time of Imam Hassan al-Sari alayhi salam, it had quickly crystallized. People who were compared to Imam Rada alayhi salam now bore themselves or their families, became agents of Imam Hassan al-Sari alayhi salam. Osman bin Sayyid knew them, because Osman bin Sayyid, as I said, when I was discussing Imam Hadi alayhi salam, he was engaged personally by Imam Muhammad Taqi alayhi salam. So he was fully familiarized by Muhammad Taqi alayhi salam of these agents who were companions of Imam Nawawi alayhi salam. The system developed, and now a full province has developed. I told Qum, Rai, that is Tehran, Qum, Tehran, and Ahwaz. Now in the north of Mashhad, a complete province has developed in which people learn, those who, that they don't need to meet the Imam, alayhi salam, they don't need to see the Imam, alayhi salam, they can communicate through the ages with the Imam, alayhi salam, obtain their answers. And indeed, Imam Rada, alayhi salam, himself has educated and trained people in fiqh. They then passed on that knowledge. Hence, it is so important that in our community too, people receive knowledge of faith and religion, so that they too are able to pass on that knowledge. And this heritage, that's the word I want to use. This heritage we have, you have, you youths have, that heritage is passed on to your youth. As I said yesterday, there is no way of salvation except under the 12th Imam alayhi salam. We are lucky, we are so fortunate, we have this treasure, this heritage, which has come from our parents. And as I said yesterday, may Allah reward them for it, so that we too are on the path to, on the correct path today. But the duty is on us, each one of us, to ensure that heritage is passed down, that it is put in another way. Our parents never left. A billion rupees for you, and you are carrying on the business. Will you leave those that business and those billion rupees unattended? Will you not speak as you're meeting beauty to ensure that she develops the business and leave those money? Perhaps more developed. The billion rupees becoming 2 billion rupees and passing on to your generations to come, to your children, so that that money is in the family and is further developed. Money comes and goes. Faith can come and will come with us to the grave. And when we die knowing the Imam alayhi salam is the true Imam, then he will be in the grave for us. He says, the Imam says, none of my shears die without my meeting them at the time the soul comes out of the body. That is the time when a person is totally helpless. Your children will not be with you, your wife and your friends will not be with you, he will be with you. And he keeps his promise. I discussed that with regard to Imam Rada alayhi salam is to remember. And so is the promise with Imam Mahdi al-Jalallahu Farajahu. May Allah make it true for all that he meets us at the time our rock comes out of our body. And may he make it true that he meets us in the grave and saves us from the trouble of the grave. This is the promise of how this is your share. And I've given you a fundamental of how the Mujahid commits to their share and how they treat their share that holds their things. But I say this about 11 years ago, and I will forgive anybody who doesn't remember it, but you might know yourself of that hadith of the Holy Prophet. Peace be upon him and his soldiers and his holy prophet, who said, "Man mata ala hubbi al-ali Muhammadin, mata shaheeda." He who dies on the love of my progeny, of my descendants, and so he is the Imam alayhi salam, that is a shaheeda. And for a shaheed, there is no account. There is no question in the world. There is no vulnerability to question a shaheed. There is no accountability of a shaheed. His status is forever. So he says, "Man mata ala hubbi al-ali Muhammadin, mata shaheeda." And so, we want our children also to be in that category, hence the importance is that we not only should maintain and nurture this heritage. This is not the time to sit and worry about a certain barrier such as halal or haram or whether a certain flag should be taken out or is it time. Because these are unimportant things in the present time when the whole world is against us. When we have enemies all around, it is a time to sustain our iman, our faith, and to nurture it and to develop it in a way in which our children can help it also. I say this because I find that we in the West are more conscious because we see the enemy. You don't see your enemy, and you are less conscious. But the enemy is there around the world, and has so important, and so do I, and it is only for this reason that I spend this time, of course, at the invitation of your elders, some of whom are sitting here, who today, this is talking about the Imam, so that we come to know about the Imam. Same Holy Prophet said, "Man mata wa man lam ya'rif Imam al-Zamanihi, mata jahila." He who died and does not have the knowledge, the recognition, does not have the knowledge of the Imam of his time, that is an ignorant person, dies like those who died to Jahiliyyah before the coming of the Holy Prophet. It was divine incident, divine and conversion. So the situation can be that deep. It is important, therefore, for the Imam alayhi salam to establish a system under which people are able to live as we now do, without seeing the Imam, without necessarily meeting the Imam, yet having communication with the Imam, yet having the certainty that what one is told is from the Imam alayhi salam. Indeed, there were those jurists trained by Imam Rada alayhi salam in truth about whom Imam Rada alayhi salam asked me about the jurist. He said, "Why have you traveled this far to ask me a question? So and so is close to you. ask him, the answer he gives you is the answer I have given you. This is how they train the people. Those people then train their sons and their friends. So you can see a whole network developing. That network developing now in Tunis and in Greece. That place when they started Azerbaijan of today. So you can see that Imam Akhtar-e-Alexa has further expanded it to the east and to the west. To the east went right up to Azerbaijan, to the west it went right up to Morocco, in the south it went beyond Yemen. All that area is now covered, including and the province of Hijaz, now covers Syria as well, because Syria also has a network of agents. And yet, the surveillance was no less than it was under Mutawakkil. I was in Spain a few nights back discussing the role of Imam Hadi al-Islam in saving the work of the Prophet Imam al-Islam, of how Mutawakkil was coming in Israel all the time, trying to find out the sources. That surveillance continues. It continues under Ma'atai. It continues under it continues under Mu'tamad, and I will give you those tomorrow night, inshallah. All those people continue with their surveillance. And yes, Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam was able to expand it instead of restricting it. This is a great credit to Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam. And by now, he's scheduled with the trying to just for me to get a little bit more details of that, so I rush to this other more important matter. He now has to ensure the birth of Imam Hadi al Islam. Now that was a great task for him. But for Imam Hadi al Islam, he's born and we touch on this politically tomorrow night, but the Imam Hadi al Islam has born now. Imam Hadi al Islam is faced with two very difficult tasks. On the one hand, he has to conceive the child from the authorities. The authorities knew that Hassan alayhi salam would be born from Hassan Askari alayhi salam. I'll start with this tomorrow evening, inshallah, because I'm rushing to the site now, the time is getting on. However, he knew that the authorities knew that a man would be born of him, he would be the father, because the Holy Prophet had said that the father of the Mahdi will be Hassan Askari, who will be from my progeny. And indeed, nobody doubted that Imam Hassan Askari al-Islam was a direct descendant of the Holy Prophet. So they knew that the Mahdi al-Islam would be born from him. If they found that Mahdi, they would kill him on the spot. The duty of the Imam now was firstly, having caused the birth of the Hujjah of Allah, was to protect that Hujjah of Allah. To defend the Hujjah of Allah. He has the duty to Allah to save one who was going to be the Hujjah of Allah. On the other hand, he has to tell the brother of who the Imam was. This is why I said his task was more difficult than the task of any of the previous Imams. And get Allah rewarding amply for it. Let me send the Allah upon him only for that reason. I say that he charged both those functions most beautifully and most successfully. That fact has a project of Yoruban Farajo is alive to today is proof of how well he has come up with the Islam protected him. To his life, that the Imam al Islam should be alive to today. And that we know the Imam alayhi salam here today is proof that he succeeded in the other task also of making known to his followers so that the followers don't follow around Imam and the correct Imam is followed. He combined both tasks beautifully and his house will serve again and again tomorrow night inshallah, again and again, because now they knew that the man alayhi salam must have been born. Who was he born by? Who is the mother? Where is he? An extremely, extremely complicated situation has arisen. So what would those tyrants have done? Other than keep searching the Imam alayhi salam and harassing him, and the Imam alayhi salam just moving Imam alayhi salam from place to place, all the time away from the sight of the authorities. And they were not able to catch him. a little bit of that tomorrow night, not a little bit, more of that inshallah next year, in some details, how he wanted to help us, how he managed successfully to avoid the enemies, how the ghaibah started and from what place, next year inshallah, if Allah gives us the chance to discuss this glorious subject about his hujjah. What the Imam al-Islam did was, he would invite some of his agents. Some Shias who were allowed to come in, he would invite them to his house. On that occasion, he would produce Imam Mahdi al-Islam. Chapter, the other Imam did that. And for example, Imam Raza al-Islam producing Imam Mahdi al-Islam and showing him to the people when he was so stoned. That's important for Imam Raza al-Islam because people might not accept such a small child to be an Imam. Likewise, what the Prophet of Islam to be an Imam, indeed, on one occasion, he called 40 people, 40 agents. And they're talking, the agents are very important people. The Rukhara, they will pass on the news. And he told them, go and tell my people that my successor is already born. So they said, where is he? And he calls the Imam alayhi salam, the first Imam alayhi salam, gets into that group and says, you want proof? They say, well, we have seen your grandfather. The last Imam alayhi salam, so young, and yet fully an Imam, we saw your father, so young, yet fully an Imam, we have no doubt, if you say that he is the Imam, yes, he is the Imam. And when the people told this, you know what the first Imam did? He straight went into the sajda, making shukr of Allah, pointing his finger at Allah, and they all realized that what more can we want, that one compliment from him, and indeed, who is in the sajda, doing exactly what the Holy Prophet would have done. Those times were manifested. He turns around to them, that look, I'll show you your Imam after me, but I thought that this boy is an opportunity. There are no security people here. So I'll call you to them, and I'll show you the Imam alayhi salam, but let me tell you that you will not be able to see him again. So look at him now, be sure, and pass the word to the other companions. Indeed. Tomorrow I will tell you about Ahmad bin Ishaq, because time is passing. But on one occasion, and let me finish this passage, he called over Uthman bin Sari. And this happened when some Shias from Yemen had come to visit him. He brought them all over, and when those men, when these Shias were there, because they were from so far away, he called the Prophet Imam for Islam in, and he introduced the Prophet Imam to them. How lucky they were to meet the Imam. He says, this is my successor. This is the Imam you will follow, and none other after me. Look at him now, because you will not have another chance to meet him in your lifetime. And he didn't Uthman bin Sa'id to them, telling them that Uthman bin Sa'id is the man to meet after me, because you will not be able to meet him. He had introduced Uthman bin Sa'id similarly to the ages. But he did another glorious thing, wonderful thing, that only he could have called Imam. He turned around to him and he said, Uthman, he turned around to those agents and told them, Uthman bin Sa'id will be the first Naib, the first deputy of this son of mine, because he will be in Ghaibah, it will be Ghaibah Sumra, as the sort of fulfillment, that he will not appear to be seen by everybody and anybody. Meet Uthman bin Sa'id, and after Uthman bin Sa'id, his son, his father does it in advance, reacting in that he was saying, after Uthman bin Sa'id, his son Muhammad bin Uthman will be the second deputy. Goes that far to make provision for who the deputy will be. And all this to ensure that the people know the Imam, yes, your practice cannot lay their hands on the Imam alayhi salam. Beautifully covered those two responsibilities, so that the Imam alayhi salam now became thoroughly known, and people far and wide came to know that he was already born. And people came to know that he was already born. The authorities came to know, the agents, that he was already born, because the Shias are saying that he was already born. Indeed, they've seen him, they've met him. Well, where is he? So you can see the authorities. into a greater turmoil. And when the economy is getting into a greater turmoil, the cinnamon guy is true. That said, kill Hassan Ibn Ali and kill his son. Those then were the economy we shall deal with. Nevermind, but the efforts of the Imam Ali Salam were to ensure that the religion established by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, is sustained. That also was the effort of Imam Hussain alayhi salam in Karbala. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam carried out various methods to achieve the project. One of the methods that he used to achieve the success of the mission of the Holy Prophet was to take with him in his entourage his son, Ali ibn al-Akbar. Because Ali ibn al-Akbar was, as it took, the exact replica of the Holy Prophet. What more could Imam Hussain alayhi salam have done? When you looked at him, Shaykh Ali Akbar, you saw him in need. When Imam Hussain alayhi salam ultimately gave leave to Shaykh Ali Akbar to go and fight, he tells him, "Oh my son, with what heart will I let you go? Because when I look at you, I can see my grandfather, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. Indeed, in my lifetime, whatever I long for the Ziyarah, for the vision of my grandfather, I would look at you and I would be able to remember my grandfather." This is why it was very hard even for the ladies to grant him to Shaitan Ali Akbar. It means when he comes to his father and says, "Father, allow me now that I go and sacrifice my life." Also, the Imam alayhi salam says, "Akbar, the one who really brought you up, your aunt Zainab, go and take her leave. If she gives me, I will give thee." And so that ends up going to the haram. Now the lady surrounded and said, "Now you will not go. You are our only savior. We look at you. We see the Holy Prophet. We just promise. Your father is now ready to die. What will happen to us? How will we survive? Now you don't go, and I will go to the desert of Al-Asana, and now show that I love us, find the better world that we can tell, and then down to the desert of Al-Asana, and say, oh my God, you certainly brought me up, and I know you have for you to let me go, but tell me, what would you tell your mother, Fatima, that was there at Salamu Fahyaraya, if I was not given in sacrifice, what would they say, Allah, the day I brought you up, from the first day I knew I was bringing you up, so that you are sacrificed for Islam. This is my contribution for Islam, Allah. I'm not going to hold you back, I'm not going to hold you there, I can go and tell your father that I have given you leave. Indeed, she has never moved out of the tent, but then she moved out of the tent. The ladies surrounding the girl, and they have got their door, to be taking out their uncle-in-law, catching his feet and saying to my brother, "You will not go, my uncle-in-law has planted his feet on my head. How can I let you go?" Indeed, I mean that the Muslim story, that the person of the tent in which the Shazad al-Yazar was taking me was named 7 times for Shazad al-Kamah and 7 times that Shazad was there because there was not nothing to go. Ultimately, he told everyone what he came back when he comes to, when he comes to bring the share of his father. The father looks to them and to you, Allah. The father then says, "Oh Allah, I am not sacrifice in your time. When I went to make the piano of the Prophet, I was looking at him. I sacrificed the very living image of my grandfather. So therefore, religion, you are to see and as your daughter and son move down and fight a ferocious battle that halfway comes up. And then he found the father, I have some mercy, and down your throat. If there is just a little water, I will let that and give double the number of these chapters that will hurt you." And Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, "Let the boy that has come to me, a son like you, should get half a word of money, and this father is not able to see you. but yet I had no water to give you. I will give you my son, this Jesus in your son. Take any master you can. And when you say, Hallelujah, take the son of God. If you say, Father, you will come to the fire of the night. You will fire. That was the situation in Kerala. It is a matter of that. Ultimately, he too is praying with a prayer. He must have been praying for us. Now, God, 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 indeed, that was the hardest time for him after the prayer of Islam. So far, whenever he comes to the body of Holy Jesus, a God would be with him. Now, a God is not there. And yet, there is no good. Now, he has been his grace. And yet that is so sad that his father thinks that the son is that his thirsty. He could be without just water for his son. And when that son found to the father and says, Father, this much I can tell you that I think my grandfather has come to receive me. So be in peace what I see. And my grandfather has brought water from Kautak for me. I now knew very well about you, but you have not had water. And he stole his story. In our hotel, the restaurant, the richest, he stole a lot of data, which is right. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, he's not able to even do the rest of the time. And he said, and took it to the time. He called to the Zalkabar Al-Salaam and said, don't ask. Oh, sorry, you're not ready. The body of Allah, that strength is what you have to be ready for. Turn little children over, little children come out from the tent. He guides them. I throw the body on the left side. He lifts the body on the side. And he dies. And these little children, they gather and fall off him. The body of his dear son. سلام الله على القوم الظالمين وسلام على المرسلين من الخير مرسلين.